This is episode number 5 with Nicole DeBeau. Welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie Kwong, and each week I'll bring you an inspiring guest with an empowering message to help you rise higher and live your best life. Each guest shares their time of struggle and setback and what specific mindsets, tools, practices, or habits they use to overcome so that you can apply them to your life. This show is to remind you that you're not alone and that there's always a pathway up. Thanks for spending some time with me today. I'm grateful to be on this journey with you. Our struggles are a call for us to rise. So here we go. Let's dive deep now so we can rise higher together. Welcome to episode number 5 of the Rise Higher podcast. Today, I've got my very dear friend, Nicole DeBeau, who is brilliant, hilarious, courageous, and a true inspiration to me and so many women. And Nicole is a proud mama to her daughter, Charlie, who's almost 2 years old. She's an entrepreneur currently building 2 businesses, one that's centered around female empowerment. Woohoo! And she's also a TV host with an exciting project in the works, which she can't share about just yet. And she's on a mission to support other women by sharing her truth about motherhood and beyond. On today's show, Nicole opens up about her postpartum depression, and she gets raw and real about the challenges of life. So some of the things we talk about are the importance of surrendering and the liberation you experience when you do. How to find yourself again when you lose your identity and feel lost. Moving past postpartum depression. Why it's so critical to ask for support and connect with others when you're in the darkness. The power of vulnerability. How to be strong in the face of pain. Speaking up to give others permission to do the same. And Nicole gives a beautiful reminder for stay-at-home moms to know they are enough. And she shares her go-to practice to get out when she's in a dark place, plus so much more. Now, this episode has so many beautiful little gems of powerful insights and empowering practices just for you. And for everything that we mention in today's episode, and for links to connect with Nicole, you can check it out in the show notes. And that is over at stephaniekwong.com/EP5. All right, are you ready? Here we go. All right, everybody, welcome to the Rise Higher podcast. I'm so thrilled to have my dear friend Nicole DeBeau. Thank you so much for being here, Nicole.
Of course.
Yeah, Nicole is a mother to a beautiful 2-year-old named Charlie.
Yes.
She's also an entrepreneur, building 2 companies, a TV host, and a huge supporter of women and sharing about motherhood and about just challenges of women and also empowering women to be their best selves. So with that being said, Nicole, how do you find the time to do it all, woman?
You know, I ask myself that question. To me, it doesn't feel like I'm doing enough, right? I think a lot of us have that conversation. Like, we need to be doing more. I mean, Beyonce has kids and look at her. You know,
I'm going to guess Beyonce's got a little bit of help though.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that is what I was just going to say. You know, I am in a different situation than Beyonce. And so as easy as it is for us to compare ourselves to another woman or a mentor or whatever, I really just try to ground myself in making leaps that I'm proud of and taking steps forward, right? Mm-hmm. So as long as I am moving forward, I know I'm going in the right direction. And like, sometimes I just have to pat myself on the back for like surviving the day, mm-hmm. you know, like not surviving in terms of, oh, I'm not going to actually live through the day, but parenthood can be a survival
totally
game. So yeah, but thank you for saying I do a lot. Yeah, I think I get to acknowledge myself more for that.
You do. And I have to say that we were together last night and it was so clever. You're like, I got the baby down. I made it here on jet lag?
Yes.
Your partner not being around to help take care of Charlie.
Yes.
While you were still committing and showing up for your friend's engagement party. While being exhausted, probably having spit up somewhere.
Right. Yes. I mean, and that's just the reality for us moms, you know, and a lot of people don't see that. I actually just watched a really beautiful video that was about the world's toughest job, and they orchestrated this fake interview process, and it was over Skype, and they had real interviewees talk to this fake interviewer for this fake corporation. And he was saying, listen, you're going to have no time off. 24 hours a day, 365. You've got to please the associate at all times. You know, you may be able to sleep. You may not be able to sleep. And by the way, it's all for no pay. And the people are just like, why would anyone do this? This is inhumane. And he's like, well, your mom did that. And wow. It's true. Us moms, we are warriors, mm-hmm. for sure.
Your inception, your creation, that divine creation of Charlie was such a miracle. Mm-hmm. I would love for you to share a little bit about that, because I know for so many, like, you didn't think you could have
right.
a child.
Yep. So, I had endometriosis, and it wasn't that I thought I was never going to have a child. It was more so that I felt like it was going to be a really difficult process. Mm. I had had surgery probably in November of 2012, maybe. The endometriosis had resurfaced because I didn't want to get on birth control just because I didn't like the idea of it. It kind of makes me loco, which, you know, go figure. I didn't want to go down that road, and it had resurfaced, and my doctor had pretty much said, you know, between this and bouts of PCOS, it could take me a while to get pregnant. So yeah, the inception was, I wouldn't call it a miracle, but it was against odds. And so it was really exciting. It was unplanned. Mm-hmm. I was not someone that, you know, had my whole life set up and my career set up and my relationship set up. Mm. It really was a leap for me. But I knew from the second I found out Charlie was in me that I was in. I mean, we've been connected from day one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, there was like my ego and fear trying to take over, and oh my God, I'm not ready for this. Da, 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 da. But then I really, you know, I did a lot of soul searching, and I worked a lot doing the Grinberg method here in Venice and really getting in touch with like myself and what it is that I want, and mm-hmm. Kind of seeing through that fear. And it was very clear to me that I was going to be a mother.
Very clear. What was it that you were afraid of? Because if you're saying seeing through the fear, what were...
Oh my gosh. What was the fear? I mean, the unknown. Responsibility, what it would do to my relationship, what it would do to my body. Yeah. It's interesting. Like, as much as I was fearful, I think I naively thought, well, life doesn't have to change that much, right?
It's just a baby.
It's just a baby. And interestingly, though, I do find that a lot of parents give that advice or that insight to pregnant women. Like, oh, you know, life doesn't have to change that much. And people even told my boyfriend that. Like, you know what? You'll just have a kid, but life moves on. And the experience was totally opposite of that for me. But I mean, I do know a lot of women that yes, it's a change, don't get me wrong, but not as a significant of a transformation or change as it was for us.
And I mean, I know you were open to sharing this, so we're going to dive right in. Yeah. You cool?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, ready to go. We're going to go for it.
No, I mean, I'm an open book, so.
Yeah. And well, and that's why, you know, I wanted you on this podcast, Nicole. Yeah. You have been such a powerful, I think, source of inspiration for so many women to just be raw and honest about life and reality of what you face, but that you always find such a powerful perspective, even when you're in it, to rise higher, which, you know, ultimately that's why I was like, you got to be on. And I know you were shocked.
I was like, well, you want me to do what? Why am I rising higher? But no, I mean, I definitely, yeah, I mean, we'll get into it, but I think it's hard for me to identify as like someone that rose above, because yeah, it's, I just think of the women that haven't been able to survive what I went through, and they rose above in their own way. You know, just because I'm here doesn't mean that I in any way was stronger. Mm-hmm. It just means that I'm here. So.
Yeah. But even in that, mm-hmm. so not even comparing to anybody else's journey, mm-hmm. you are strong, woman.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, truly, when you shared your story mm-hmm. with us, actually, on Jenna's couch over there of what you went through, I mean, mm-hmm. after you had Charlie.
Yep. Yeah. So basically, so that everyone knows what we're talking about.
Clue in.
Yeah. So it was an interesting kind of sequence of events, because when I was pregnant, of course, the first trimester was incredibly difficult. And I was like, oh my God, am I going to survive this? But then I really grew into motherhood, and I loved being pregnant. Mm. And I hate to be that annoying woman that loved it, but you know what I am. I loved it. I felt very grounded. I felt present, and I felt feminine and maternal. Mm. And for me, I was never really that in touch with my femininity in my life. And so all of a sudden I was just like, I am a woman.
Yeah.
Like, my breasts are growing and I am growing a child. And, oh.
Yes.
And so it was really powerful. And I like meditated a lot and I would color all the time. Mm. And I just felt very at peace. And for me, from the get-go, the biggest practice that was unfolding was the practice of surrender. Surrendering to my body, surrendering to this child and what they need. And I'm a controller, and I realized how much I just needed to always have a grasp of things. And so I just kept unfolding and surrendering, and I just felt liberated in that. So,
do you think that's part of why you enjoyed motherhood so, or like,
right?
Yeah, being pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me, I had the tools to be able to practice what was coming up for me so that I could enjoy it. Right.
How do you practice that? For those people listening who might need a tool.
Right. So kind of, yeah. How to, you know, meditation, if you're not a meditator, the adult coloring books are fantastic. Also just really noticing, right? So someone said, if you can look down on yourself, mm-hmm. kind of be this person up in the sky, and you're looking down, notice what's coming up for you. Notice how you're interacting in the world. And just, I would constantly say to myself, surrender.
So you would just say, even just by saying it, it would help you get into it.
Surrender. Surrender. I listened to a lot of Kundalini yoga music.
Love it.
We always had it on in the house.
So good.
I took a lot of baths. And yeah, it was mantras, relaxation, Grinberg method, which you can't actually do the method, but any sort of like body-mind therapy that can help you reconnect with yourself. And then I had an amazing doula who worked with us as well, who really got me ready for the next level of surrender, which is in birth. And then you graduate from there to labor and then motherhood. So surrender is a powerful thing for a woman.
I think just for anybody in life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, being trying to be a reformed controller.
Yeah.
There's those times where it's just you want something a certain way. And when I become so attached to that, I realize that additional stress I cause myself, that's not necessary, right? And then when you just go, all right, I'm still going to hold my intention. What is it that I want to do, or what am I creating? Mm-hmm. But let me not control this so much. It just makes the process so much lighter and easier, and just really allowing it to unfold. But it's so great, some of the things that you shared of how you even do that. Because sometimes I'm like, I'm surrendering. And I'm like, oh, wait.
Yeah. It's interesting. Something just came up for me and you sharing that. Because, okay, so pregnancy is this practicing of surrender, letting go. And then labor is like this ultimate practice. And my labor did not go as planned. Mm-hmm. So I labored at home with a midwife and a doula and was planning on having a home birth. We were going to stay home for the whole thing. I had the pool set up. I was so ready. And what just came up for me is that is when my practice of surrender was severed. Labor was so overwhelming for me. I ended up like really loving the experience of labor once my midwife coached me and was like, Nicole, you can do this. Like, she knew to be tough with me. I was like, I can't do this. Take me to the hospital. But then I kind of got into this, like, labor goddess groove. But it didn't go as planned. And I realized when you were sharing that I've been so obsessed with the fact that it didn't go as planned, that I haven't actually let go of that. And I do think that the trauma of my labor led to my postpartum depression, which I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yep.
And now it's so exciting because women are sharing these stories and it's now coming out into the open. But I was in the dark. I couldn't figure out my depression and how it could have happened. I mean, of course, it's, you know, my family has some, but yeah, a friend of mine told me that there's a connection between PTSD mm-hmm. from traumatic birth experiences and depression. And that's when everything started going together. The pieces of the puzzle started fitting together. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that is, I mean, just to clue people in, this is what we were talking about, is the postpartum depression that you had, which was so intense. It's like you couldn't even enjoy being a mom, right?
Right.
Out the gate.
Yeah. So basically, home birth ended up in C-section. The experience was terrible. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. Mm-hmm. And the first few weeks were great. I was feeling pretty cool and calm at home, had my Kundalini yoga music. Breastfeeding was a little tricky. I mean, oh my God, that's no joke. But I would say about 4 weeks in, it really was when Nick, my partner, went back to work. I just felt like I was in this black hole, right? Like the walls were caving in. I was really sad. I was unsure about why I chose to have a child. I felt like everything was kind of doomed. Like I had made this decision and now everything was over. Mm-hmm. And my midwife just said, okay, so this is postpartum depression, very common, but you need to go see a postnatal psychiatrist or psychologist immediately. So I actually went to see one that day, and I was seeing a therapist who was fantastic for a long time, probably 7 months. And she immediately from day one advised that I get on meds while seeing her. And being the natural woman that I am, I rejected the whole idea of meds.
No meds for you. Yeah.
No meds. I got this. You know, I can exercise or like
Kundalini yoga.
You know,
it
listen
out.
To my Kundalini. It'll be fine. And in retrospect, I probably should have said, okay, I'm going to surrender and listen to what's happening in my mind and in my body. So really, it was like I was fighting this illness by myself. Like it was dark and lonely and miserable. And luckily, some women don't connect with their children. I was always very connected to Charlie throughout it. But yeah, I just wasn't connected to myself. I was kind of lost.
Yeah.
I didn't know who I was. Complete identity crisis. I mean, I realized I was so bound to these ideas of who I was, right? This TV host, this social person, this partier, this whatever. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden that was stripped. And I was just like, who am I now? And it was really hard for me to identify myself as a mother. So yeah, it was a really dark time. And then it got pretty dark. Like I started having suicidal ideations. This was about 6 or 7 months in. And I do want to say that like the idea of, oh, I'm going to go exercise is complete bullshit.
Okay.
Like, and I love everyone that ever recommended that I go exercise. But until you're suffering from a mental illness,
yep,
you will not get it.
Okay? No amount of exercise makes those thoughts go away.
Nor am I going to get up and go exercise.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, do you know how difficult the idea of like getting up and working out sounds? I mean, no, there's no way.
Yeah.
So I forget where I was, but basically I got to about 6 or 7 months in and things were really getting dark. So my psychologist recommended that I get on meds. Well, my first experience with meds was Prozac. Okay. And I think I took one pill and like insomnia, the thoughts in my head were so loud, I couldn't quiet them. I had a full-blown panic attack, called the doctor, like, someone needs to help me. I'm not safe in my home. And basically, I think I was on, like, suicide watch for 24 hours.
Wow.
It was one of those things, like, I actually thought it was never going to go away. Like, I would imagine if, you know, you hear stories of, like, people having a bad drug trip, and they think, like, I was like, I should have never done this. What was I thinking? I'm going to lose my mind. And then I did a lot of research, and unfortunately, when people start meds, I think it's the first 8 days where suicide rates are the highest,
mm-hmm.
which really bothers me, but that's a whole other conversation. I just feel like it needs to be regulated and people need to be monitored more closely when they're on meds for mental illness. But so yeah, at that point I thought, I'm never taking meds again. I was right. We all like to be right. I was right. I don't need meds. And as you can imagine, it just got worse. So it kind of all ended, or I guess shifted would be a better way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
We moved. I wasn't working. Finances were tight. The downsize was incredibly stressful for me. And yeah, my parents came in town. It was my daughter's 1 year birthday. We were planning her birthday party, which was just another trigger for me.
Yeah.
And I remember I almost hit my mom. They came in, my dad is really sick, and I saw how sick my dad was. And I felt this just overwhelming sense of like, I can't do this. This is it. And I sat in the bathroom and thought about killing myself, which I had kind of made sense of for a few months. Like, okay, I don't need to be here. This is just the way my life is going to end. It's crazy looking back on it. But called my best friend and basically said, someone help me. This is a life or death situation. And ended up checking myself into a postnatal facility.
Mm-hmm.
For depression.
When you got to the place where you checked yourself in,
mm-hmm.
what supported you there to?
You know, friends. Mm. The drive there, I was second guessing myself the entire way. As you can imagine, I don't belong in a psychiatric facility.
How does this happen? Yeah.
How does this happen to me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not doing this. This is going to be crazy. Am I over-exaggerating? Mm-hmm. You know, and one of my best friends who has experience with mental illness sat on the phone with me the entire drive down to Long Beach and basically said, Nicole, you're doing this. My two best friends were gravely worried about me. My family was worried about me. My partner was worried about me. And she was like, you don't mess around with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just do it. Yeah, it'll be a little scary, but you'll come out the other side. And I did. I loved everyone there and I connected with them and I really saw people for who they are, you know, not this mental illness. And yes, there were some very sick people there, but they were all beautiful and they all just wanted to be seen and heard and understood. And I felt a great sense of purpose and being able to listen to them and to offer love and support. And honestly, it was hard for me to leave. I felt very connected to some of the people there, but it was my daughter's 1 year birthday. And so I was released on her 1 year birthday.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Full circle.
Full circle. Everyone says if you can make it through the first year, like the 1 year birthday party is for the parents. Okay. They're like, oh, honey, we did it. And I'm like, whoa, we did it. We just did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm not as strong as maybe some other women are. You're a hell of a warrior.
Yes, I'm definitely a warrior. I think the reason that I'm so sensitive to boasting about my strength is because suicide is the number one cause of death in new moms. And I think, and I've heard stories about the women that didn't survive experiences similar to what I was going through. And I just don't want people to think that these women weren't strong or that anyone that commits suicide from a mental illness, which usually it is mental illness, isn't strong.
Right.
You know, they were strong until they couldn't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And I was this close. You know, whether it was that I had more support, that I was more willing to ask for support, you know, whatever. My circumstances were just different.
Yep.
And I just don't want to discredit the strength of the people that didn't survive mental illness.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if you are a human on this planet, mm-hmm. you're already born strong.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because of what life throws at you.
Oh, yeah.
And you're right, there's different, it's not taking away the strength of others. But I also think there's something beautiful, Nicole, to acknowledge the strength within yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Because
I mean, listen, I'm a fighter. I always have been. You know, I've been through a lot of shit in my life. And, you know, that's probably the reason the depression happened. You know, there was probably a large number of reasons why it occurred, but it was just another thing for me to fight my way through.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like I've come out the other side, as my friend said when I was going in. I came out the other side. And yeah, it's been kind of a rebuilding, right? Like, how am I going to recreate myself after the year that I had? But like I said, one foot in front of the next and just keep moving forward. And if anything, it's kind of exciting to have like this blank canvas.
Totally.
Like, I got so stripped down to in like this black hole of like, who am I and where do I go and what is this? And now it's fun. It's
yeah.
like, okay, well, let's see what, you know, paint stroke I'm going to do today and where this is going to go.
When had you up until this point, was this the hardest thing you've had to go through, or were there other challenges in the past that you're...
I would say this was definitely the most difficult. Mm. You know, I've been in and out of therapy probably from late high school until adulthood. And there had been times when therapists had said, you know, maybe you need to get on an antidepressant, and I never did. And I realized that I never had depression, because I do think that mental illness, like a severe mental illness, yep. you need some sort of intervention, like medicinal. I don't know. I mean, that's my own experience. That being said, I think that if we're going to give people a drug that alters the chemical state of their brain, that we should monitor them, because
yep.
everyone has a different reaction. And so I ended up, you know, really diving into mental illness, and of course, for specifically for women. And that's when I found out suicide is the number one cause of death in mothers, mm-hmm. which is...
That's insane.
It's devastating.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's devastating. And then also when I found out about, you know, the suicide rates when you start an antidepressant, and all of it was just really disheartening and really disappointing to me.
Yeah.
Like, we should take better care of people in 100%. General.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And also provide higher levels of support for people with mental illness.
Yep.
I think, you know, I coached at a treatment center and now do some like coaching at an addiction center. And a lot of the people that I've come across, even outside, they're just like, where do I go? It's not talked about. There's so much shame around it.
Yep.
And I mean, I haven't really talked much about this. I don't know if you even knew, but earlier this year I got into a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell
yeah.
you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And who would have known? But that was, I mean, it was a crazy weekend where I had to handle things post-accident, and I totaled the car, didn't even know where I was, suppressed all my physical body pain, my emotional pain. And 3 days later, when I got back to LA, I went dark. Like, I woke up and was wondering, I was so bummed that I woke up that morning,
mm-hmm.
and was also having suicidal ideations, didn't know how I was going to get out. Just, it literally felt like a zombie,
mm-hmm.
and going through the motions, and even seeing myself, you know, so many people are like, really, that happened? Because the mask, it's so strong, but inside you feel like you're dying, or you,
totally.
At least I did.
And I think that's why people suffer so much, you know, mm-hmm. like they don't feel like they can share with
yeah.
people. And I'm happy that you're sharing that, and that you shared it with your friends, and that you're sharing it on this podcast.
Yeah.
Hey,
yeah.
Kudos to Steph here. Because I mean, people, you know, the judgment, it's like, you know, when someone in Hollywood or that has a name kills themselves, and you know, all these people judge them and call them selfish and all, it's just like, it's this ignorance, this
no.
lack of understanding.
Completely.
But yeah, I'm really on a mission to like let women and people know that we all are really the same. Mm-hmm. And we all have similar struggles. And believe me, from being an accomplished TV personality to a woman stripped down sitting in a psych ward, I see so many relations between the types of people that I spend time with. You know, we're all the same in our hearts. And just reach out for support would be my number one thing. Like, you have to force yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to.
You have to.
You have
to. I mean, I think we're on this planet to connect.
Yeah.
We're not here to do things alone, and we can't. I mean, if you think about it too, if you get sick, where do you go? The doctor. Who's helping you? Another person. Right. That support that we can't do. You can't even procreate on your own.
It's, oh,
you
yeah. Need support. I mean, we're social beings.
We are social beings. And so that goes for everything, not just when things are good to connect in that way, but even when things are tough and challenging. In fact, that's when we need it the most. Mm-hmm. And for people to know that it is totally okay to do it. I mean, that is a whole goal too of this podcast, as you know. It's like, let's share these moments of challenge and setback, whether it's a past or current right now, one to like take off the freaking mask, guys. Like, we're not perfect. We all suffer through things, but you know, one, you're not alone in your struggles, but mm-hmm. two, there is a way up and out. It might take a little bit longer for other people, or it might be different, but let's start to share. So you might have something that someone's like, oh my gosh, I've never heard of Kundalini yoga music, or I've never meditated. Let me try that. Mm-hmm. And then that becomes our thing, or someone else shares something and that's their thing. But we all get to support each other in this thing called life.
Yep, totally.
And to know that, you know, we're not alone, and there's ways to overcome and build our own strength.
So, yes. Yeah. And that's the thing is, I mean, and you definitely know this, is in vulnerability lies power.
So much power.
And it's exciting that like everyone has a stage now, but I really encourage people to get vulnerable. And I'm practicing that too. Like, I ain't perfect, you know? I'm like, oh, I like have this weird like male demographic of sports fans because I used to work for Fox Sports, and like now I'm talking about traumatic birth experiences. How is this gonna translate? But no, it is important because that's what gives other people, right?
The permission
speak and up. The space to speak up themselves.
Yes.
And so I have found from posting on Instagram, not really getting into detail like I did with you, but just kind of a vague story of my experience with postpartum depression, that so many women have reached out to me.
Wow.
Friends from grade school, high school, that I haven't talked to since, sharing their stories. And it made me really feel good about the fact that I chose to do that. Because as you know, it's scary.
It's so scary.
It's super scary to share that stuff.
We have so much judgment of ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we think that someone else is going to judge us. So you know what? Because judgment equals pain, I don't want to feel any more pain than I'm already in. Let me just hold it on my own, and I can't let anyone support me or share the things. So
yeah.
But then once you do,
it feels so scary. It's like, I mean, it's almost like my shoulders just rested a little bit even thinking about it. Yeah. You know, you let it out into the universe. And I think without being too annoying, like in hippy dippy or spiritual, I think that when we do that, the universe takes care of us, right? Mm-hmm. Like, we're just letting it out there. Like, this is who I am. I can be real. I can be me. And then the right people come into your life and the right energy and the right experiences and the right careers and everything. When you allow yourself to be who you really are, the world just celebrates that.
See there. Yeah. This brings up a conversation. It's so funny because I used to be really good with my masks, like happy, strong. Mm. That's what you get to see. Mm-hmm. Everything else was me behind closed doors. No one got a peek into that because whatever I'd placed on with judgment and shame around that, which, you know, you experience when you're younger.
Right.
But I remember one day, this was probably 8 years ago, and I was having a day, and I couldn't handle it on my own anymore. It was so loud up in here that I was like, I just needed to call someone. And I called one of my friends, and she picked up the phone, and I was sobbing. And she was like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And I was like, yeah. And when I shared a little bit, the first thing she said was, oh my God, thank God you're human.
Tell
right? And I was like, what? And she goes, yeah. And she goes, I always thought you were always so happy and everything was so perfect and nothing was ever wrong in your world. And it was like, I didn't even realize that was the impression that I was leaving on people. And that's not how I want to go, like, oh, everything's perfect.
Commend you for saying that. Sorry to interrupt I want to commend you for saying that, because I do find that in all of this, like, self-help and life coaches and all of that, it's so exciting. Don't get me wrong. But when I was in the depths of my despair, I felt so unseen. I was like, why would these people ever want to listen to me? I mean, they're so up here. They're untouchable. Their lives are perfect. And it's very much like, oh, you know, if someone, I forget what everyone says, I'm totally going to butcher this, but like, you know, if my energy or vibration is up here and yours is down here, well, then I can't.
Yeah, we're not going to vibe.
Right. And I'm like, wait, but that's not supporting people. And you've got to understand that there's always going to be different vibrations and people going through different things. And we have to, like, be able not to dip our own vibration, but to love people enough to accept them. And I don't know. So I appreciate you saying that. I don't know where I'm going with this, but like, I just have such an issue with this, like, you know, be your best self. Woohoo! Like,
I get it.
I'm a boss, or like, girl boss, or, you know, it's like, you guys just, everyone take a deep breath. And like,
how
about just
be real and be me. Just be me. And sometimes, you know what, I'm happy, and sometimes I ain't.
Totally.
And that is okay too. And I can still be loved for that. I'm enough if I'm a mess on the floor or if I'm out changing the world.
Yep.
And it's all okay. I totally hear you on that. And I know too, for a long time, like, I didn't want to share vulnerably because also the stigma where like, oh, you help people, you're a coach, you know,
you have to be perfect.
You have to be perfect. You have to show that you're already transformed and enlightened and you can float and you're friends with the Dalai Lama and whatever
totally.
Else. Nothing can be wrong with you. And it's like, no, actually, I'm still human. But do I have tools now that can help me? And I might be a few steps ahead and sometimes I slide back, but you just shift out of it faster. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden all your problems or challenges and pain go away. It's just how I am in the face of them is radically different. And then that's what I want to share with people through my work, which I hope that that's what everybody does. And especially through yours, you know, you learn so much from your experience and that's what you share with people. And it's so powerful as you see already the feedback. People are like, oh, I can share. Thank God I don't have to stuff my voice and suffer in silence. Here's someone who gets me that I can actually like be real with and hope she can see me.
And I do find for moms, especially with the current landscape of like entrepreneurs and girl boss and not even entrepreneurs, I'd say more just the landscape for women, right? We're living in this really exciting time where women have a voice. We have choices, right? Like, we're roaring. That being said, I do find that the stay-at-home mom is being kind of glazed over, right? Like, it's almost now the shame is in being a stay-at-home mom because why aren't you working? You know, like, why are you home with your kid? And I never intended on being a stay-at-home mom, but I became one. And so I really find that I'm able to see both sides, from working mom, you know, I was working for Fox Sports, showing up every day, to like, oh my gosh, here I am with this child 24 hours a day. And sometimes I feel like I'm just going to run outside and never come back. But, you know, the stay-at-home mom, where do they fit into this idea of femininity now, right? And so I just want to speak to all the moms out there and let them know that, like, if you're home with your child, I do think that is the most difficult thing you can possibly do.
What was that job description again?
Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With no pay.
No pay. Lots of stress.
Yes.
I mean, you breathe through it. You breathe through it. But being a stay-at-home mom is incredibly challenging. And I just want to acknowledge all of the women out there that may feel like they're not enough because they're home with their children. Because yes, it's exciting that we can be mompreneurs and be working moms, but I find a lot of beauty in a woman that gets to powerfully choose to be with her child in the first few years of life. So I just want to acknowledge all those moms out there.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
I think just in this day and age, like, hello, compassion is what is going to heal this planet. That we can just say whatever
people... And maternity leave. Just
That too.
Right.
Yes.
That will heal the planet. Okay?
That will heal the
babies
planet.
Babies need their mamas.
They do.
Okay. Mamas are important.
They do.
Okay. Sorry.
No.
We need to breastfeed.
Yes.
We need to be. We are animals. Seriously, though.
I love
we
this.
Are animals. We are meant to be baby on boob, like connected. I mean, your child and the mother releases hormones, right? Mm-hmm. Like releases serotonin and all this stuff every time they breastfeed. There's like, biologically, it's just meant to happen. So to take a mother away from her baby is just, I think, the worst thing you can do for the future of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from, you know, global warming.
That's for another episode.
Right.
Yeah. But no, I hear you. It's that bonding, especially because kids are formed within. Mm-hmm. It's so critical. You don't even realize you're being shaped in the womb.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, if your parents are outside arguing and you're in the womb, you feel that energy because the mother is also putting that energy into the baby. But yes, bonding with your child, spending the time to love on them, care mm-hmm. for them, nurture them. And then ultimately, where I was trying to say was like that compassion piece. Like if yeah. we can just have compassion for people wherever they are.
Yep.
Instead of putting labels on or this is better or this is good if you're doing. Just love people
mm-hmm.
and let it be okay that they make the choices that they make. And if it's a choice that maybe you're like, oh, I wouldn't have made that. Yeah, you wouldn't have made that. And they are. And you don't know what their path is mm-hmm. of where that's going to lead them.
Mm-hmm.
And just let them go and love them.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
And reach out to people.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about only hanging out with people that are as enlightened as you. You know, mm-hmm. yes, we want to surround ourselves with like positive people, but I do find that there's great value in someone that may not be as positive as you currently are and like reaching out to them and supporting them
mm-hmm.
and listening.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I don't know what I would have done without all the people that listen to me. So thank you.
Yeah.
This is for you guys. I know I probably had a lot to say, like I always do.
Which I love.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I have three questions for you.
Oh, so, is this like rapid fire?
This is the unlock your heart round.
Okay.
So, Nicole, mm-hmm. what's something unique about you that most people don't know?
Well, I just told everyone something unique about me. Something unique about me. Well, I lived in Africa. I mean, people know that, though. But you know that.
I knew that, but a lot of people don't.
Yes, I lived in Africa, and Africa, I'm pretty sure, is my home.
Mm-hmm.
I will be raising my child in Africa in some sort of capacity, not full-time. And really, I'm incredibly passionate about education for children in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And I have 26 students that I taught when I lived
Amazing.
There. And I mean, maybe I'm just totally fantasizing, but I hope they still remember me.
Sure
but I'm like just really counting the days till I can get back and bring my daughter there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
Mm-hmm.
When you're in a really dark place, what's your go-to to get out?
Now I'd say movement. Before it was support, but now I'm in more of like a self-sustainable place mm-hmm. where if I'm in a bad place, I just go exercise.
Oh, see? Now you can exercise.
Now I can exercise. Yeah, yeah, I think if you're, you know, a mentally healthy, whatever that means, person, then movement is a really, really great place to go. But other than that, support,
yeah.
reach out.
And knowing what you know now,
mm-hmm.
what advice would you give to your 10-year-old self?
To my 10-year-old self? Oh, that makes me sad. Just that I am whole and complete just as I am. Yeah. Nothing is outside of me.
Mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love you.
I love you.
Thank you for sharing your heart with us today.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
grateful.
Thank you, Steph.
Yeah.
I feel very honored.
And when I have you on again, we're like, oh, I'm not shocked anymore. Of course you have me on.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm just like, I'm like everybody else. I'm just figuring it all out. But no, I'm very honored. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And hopefully I helped some women.
I know you did.
Yeah.
You helped me with how you show up in the world.
Yeah.
Seriously, like I said last night, when you're like, I figure out a plan, baby monitor,
right?
And you're eating and magical. I was like, dang, get it. So yeah.
Well, thanks, Steph.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing this.
Cut.
Thank you guys for spending time with me today and for showing up for you. As always, for an extra boost of empowerment, check out my Instagram at @IamStephanieKwong to see the amazing bit of wisdom my guest has to share with you today that was not on the show. And if there's someone you know who could benefit from this episode, please share it out with them. I got so much out of today's episode. And if you did too, I would love for you to subscribe and leave me a 5-star review on iTunes, because that means we can support even more people to rise higher together. And I've got a free gift for you. Because I believe that self-love is the key to everlasting happiness, unconditional love, and to having anything and everything you want, I have a special gift for all my listeners. It's a free self-love kickstart that will give you some powerful practices to get on your journey to owning your worth, rocking your confidence, and opening up to your own love to radically transform your life. And you can download that free gift that I created just for you at stephaniekwong.com/self-love-kickstart. And finally, for everything that we mentioned in today's episode, and for the links to connect with Nicole, you can check it out in the show notes. And that is over at stephaniekwong.com/EP5. You can also check out all my other podcast episodes there too. Until next time, I'm sending you so much love.